It's nice to be here with you today on this last day of unleavened bread. God's 21st day. Of course, this is April 22nd. But it's God's 21st day of the first month. Boy, it just seems like that these days certainly have gone by pretty quickly. I don't know about you, but time is just racing by here. I don't know about you, but I love unleavened bread. I love the taste of burnt, unleavened, non-puffed up bread. I don't know why. I like burnt chicken, too, for that matter. For something about burnt that is really very good to my taste buds. But in the Bible, unleavened bread pictures a life of sincerity, truth, the love of God, among many other things. So here we are. How do you and I keep living this life of sincerity and truth? How do we keep on going? I think everyone in here has to agree that it takes God's help for us to do this. But it also takes endurance. Endurance in keeping on, keeping on. So, on the third Monday of every April, we just passed it here, a spectacular sporting event takes place in the state of Massachusetts. I'm sure you're aware of this. Athletes, both men and women from all over the world, take part in this event. Although I have to say, because of COVID, this event was canceled for the year 20 and 21, but here we are in 22. It's a grueling, tough, tiring, long 26-mile run. It's called the Boston Marathon. A marathon is not a short race, a sprint, as they call them in track. I used to run track. The 100-yard dash. No, this is a long run. It takes a long time to make it. And I have to say, a marathon demands this endurance. Endurance is often translated in the Bible as patience, too. Sometimes it's called perseverance. They all mean the same thing. And that's endurance. And so, towards the end of this long race, the last 5 miles, there are five very steep hills, one for each mile, the last 5 miles. They come right in a row. And the last hill, it's the shortest of all. But it seems the longest to the athletes, because they're tired, they're weary, and they call this hill Heartbreak Hill, because it breaks an athlete's heart unless they have this endurance. Endurance, that's what we need. Endurance, brethren. I've titled this message, Six Steps to Help Us Build Endurance. Now, Webster defines endurance as a performance duration, the ability to withstand hardships, adversities, stress, under very extreme condition. What is your heartbreak hill? And how are you going to endure it? Maybe it's a problem you're having in school, a trial of some type, difficulties with people, temptations. Maybe your girlfriend is giving you some problems. Maybe it's your health, finances. Whatever it is, in order to conquer this problem, you have to have endurance. Let's go to Hebrews here, chapter 10, and in verse 36. You know, God designed these days of unleavened bread for us to focus our hearts, our minds, as His people to overcome this marathon that He put us in. Overcome sin, get it out of our lives. But the writer of Hebrews here, and I don't know who wrote Hebrews, maybe you do. Hebrews 10 and verse 36 tells us here, "For you have need of endurance, so after that you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." You see, God promised us something. If we run that race, God promised this immortal life, living forever with God the Father and our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, in their kingdom. So endurance, brethren, is very important to an athlete's training. And since you and I are spiritual athletes, it's very important that we run this spiritual marathon. And I've got to say this, the spiritual athlete and running that race is much more difficult than this 26-mile run. Why is that? Because the spiritual athlete's race lasts a lifetime, not just 26 miles. Lasts for as long as we live. And so how can we build endurance? What can we do here? Because here we are now. We've got to be able to build this endurance to overcome these problems, these sins, and keep sins out of our lives. Because that's what unleavened bread, when we take that in, it symbolizes. Sin out of our lives. How do we do that? Let's go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's begin here, actually, after that kind of long introduction. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. And here's Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, and he says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." And that means put all you got into this race. Everything, every bit of energy that you have, put it in this race. Verse 25, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. For they," he's talking physical athletes when he says they do it to obtain a perishable crown. It means one that deteriorates, one that is physical. "But we, an imperishable crown." See, we're going this after this everlasting life. It's imperishable. It lasts forever. It doesn't decay. Well, it's important that we understand these things. The first step, in order for us to build endurance, is to lay aside every weight, every sin that ensnares us, that traps us. Hebrews 12 in verse 1. Let's take a look at this point. It's very important. Hebrews 12 in verse 1. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us" what? "Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. See? We have to run with this. That's why it's so important as I was working up this message. I just thought this endurance is something else here. God put this spiritual race in front of us, so we need to run it. And the first thing we need to do, get rid of the sins. Get rid of the sins. It's easier said than done. We have to work at it. That's why you have to have this endurance. Sin weighs us down. We want to run fast in this race and then have that endurance. But sin, it's actually what we can call it's excess baggage is what it is. And what are they? Well, they could include anything that is bad for us, including people. Some people are bad influence on others. They aren't. They say they're your friends, but are they really? Do they really want the best for you? No, you want to hang around people that encourage you. See, this encourage. So it's important that we lay aside, get rid of this sin, whatever it is. There's many things out there. I can't even begin to mention up here some of the sins that are there. But we need to look at them and get rid of these things. The second point, the second step here that we can take in order for us to build this endurance is to look to God. When we're in deep trouble, we can't get out ourselves. What do? We look to God. Look at verse 2. You're in Hebrews 12. Look at verse 2 and 3, what it says in here. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, notice this word, endured the cross. Christ endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God to consider him who endured. There's two words here again, same word, two different times, such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. So, Christ had endurance. On the cross, he endured and overcame the world too, didn't he? He overcame sin. So we should focus our attention here on this step two, on God the Father and Christ. That's how you can run this race with endurance. The third step that we can take is to continue to fight the good fight of faith. We shouldn't waver from left to right, up or down, but continue. Stay on the course. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 4. Stay on the course. Keep fighting the fight that you're fighting. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 4, and it says here, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. See, they're wavering. They're going from this to that, to this to that. They don't know which way to go. But we shouldn't waver. No, stay. You should stay the course. And be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. God gave us a job to do down here. Also notice 1 Timothy 6 and in verse 12. 1 Timothy 6 and in verse 12. Paul to young Timothy here, fight the good fight of faith. See, this is what you and I are doing. We're fighting this this good fight of faith. Hold on to this eternal life to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Spiritual athletes need to build this endurance in order to do these steps. We need to continue and to break through these heartbreak hills that each one of us have, whatever they are, whatever they are. And sometimes God requires us to go through some trials, tribulations, tests. He even allows Satan to tempt you and I. Tempt means to go to the wrong way. Romans 5 and in verse 3. These are all steps to help us build this endurance so we can continue to be in this marathon that's spiritual. And the Bible even says here, when we go through these terrible times, times of trouble, it says in here that we need to be happy. And it tells us the reason that we need to be happy. Romans 5, verse 3, join me there. And not only that, but we should glory, see, in tribulation. Glory in these heartbreak hills. Knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. Remember, perseverance is the same as endurance. I said that in the very beginning of this message. It produces endurance and perseverance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Our hope is to be in that kingdom. The fourth step in enduring this heartbreak hill, to build this endurance, is to never give up. Boy, Satan wants you and me to give up big time. Big time. He hates all of us. Whether you're in the church or outside the church, he hates all of humanity, but especially the people in the church, because we know the truth, don't we? We know the truth. We should never give up. Galatians 6 and in verse 9. Paul here covers up all the steps. He covers them very, very well, very clear, very clean. Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not grow weary. Sometimes those people in those races, they grow tired, especially that last mile, that last heartbreak hill. They get tired. But it says in here, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Wow. Hebrews 10 in verse 23. Let's continue this thought here very quickly. Hebrews 10 in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Living a godly life is tough to do. It's a long race. But we should all try to run this race with everything that we got, because the hope is something beautiful that God wants to give to us. You know, one of the hardest heartbreak hills for me, I got to be honest, is waiting for Christ to come back. That's so hard for me. I wish he were here right now. I wish he were here right now in this room. It's hard. It's hard to wait. But notice what James 5 here in verse 7 says. It's hard to be patient. Tough. It's hard to wait for Christ. I don't know about you, but for me it is. James 5, and in verse 7, patience, something that is tied to endurance. patience. Therefore, be patient, it says here in James 5, verse 7, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Very close. The fifth step here to build endurance is to keep your eye on the big picture, to keep your eye on God's kingdom, things that pertain to everlasting life. That's the big picture. God, His commandments. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Keep your eye on that incorruptible crown, the crown that never deteriorates, lasts forever. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. Paul knew his end was coming. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought that good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. What day? The day of Christ's return, when the first resurrection takes place. That's what he's talking about here. And not to me only, but to all. That means you and I, who have loved his appearing. And the sixth and final step here for this building endurance is we have to understand and realize that this world out there, the world, doesn't necessarily love us. If you think this world loves you, then you need to get in the Bible and read for yourself what it says. Let's go to Mark 13, as a matter of fact. Let's go there right now. If you're a friend of this world, you're not a friend of God. This world hates God. It doesn't care for Him. It doesn't care for His laws, statutes, judgments, His rules. Look what it says in Mark 13:13. And you will be hated. Actually, a better translation here may be loved less. Love less. By all for my name's sake. But he who, notice this word, endures to the end shall be saved. And notice, shall be is future. We're not saved now. People say, well, I'm saved. Joe, you're not saved. That's in the future. It's talking future tense in here. It's not now. So, brethren, in summary, to build this endurance, let's lay aside every weight. Let's look at Christ and God the Father to help lead us. Let's not waver to the right or to the left away from the truth that we know is the truth. And let's keep our eye on the big picture. I think that's so important. And so let us run this race set before us with endurance. And so now we'll move to the offering portion of services here. It is customary for the church to take up an offering on all of God's feast days except the Passover. So anyone who needs an envelope, please raise your hand and we'll ensure that you receive that envelope. Also, if you still have an envelope there, please, where it has location, enter Macon, Georgia. It's easier to process that way. Deuteronomy 16:16. We usually turn there, so let's go there. Deuteronomy 16:16. Very quickly here, because we pretty much know what Deuteronomy 16:16 says, but nevertheless, let's go there. Deuteronomy 16:16, three times a year, three times a year. All your males shall appear before the Eternal your God in the place which he chooses. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is what we are observing, we're keeping today. The Feast of Weeks coming up, and the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Eternal empty-handed. Along with this, let's go to Exodus now, if you wouldn't mind. Exodus 34. We don't go to this one too much. Exodus 34 and verse 23 says the same thing, but most of the time we go to Deuteronomy 16:16. Exodus 34, verse 23. Three times in a year, it says here. Exodus 34, in verse 23. Three times in a year, all your men shall appear before the Eternal, the Lord God of Israel. I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before the Eternal, your God, three times in a year. If you go up to verse 18, it tells us these three times. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we're keeping, you shall keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread as I commanded you in the appointed time of the month of Abib. For in the month of Abib you came out of Egypt. And then verse 22, and you shall observe the Feast of Weeks, the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, some people may be asking, why do we have to give money? Why can't we just give what ancient Israel gave? Crops, flocks, herds. That's what they gave. Deuteronomy 14. Let's go there and let me show you something here on Deuteronomy 14, verse 24. And it says here, but if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Eternal your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. And take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. So that's why we give money today instead of flocks and so on. And then in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, Paul tells us here very clearly that when we give, we should give with a cheerful heart.